Domestic partner violence is the leading cause of injury to women, more than car accidents, muggings, and rapes combined. And studies suggest that up to 10 million children witness some form of domestic violence annually. And here with me this morning to talk about a new recommendation to help reduce these alarming statistics are Dr. John Epling, Associate Professor of Public Health and Preventive Medicine and the Chair of Family Medicine at Upstate Medical University, and Randy Bregman, Executive Director of Vera House, a not-for-profit agency in Syracuse that focuses on serving those affected by domestic and sexual violence. Welcome to you both. Thanks for coming in today.
Thanks for having us.
So, Dr. Epling, what's this new recommendation?
Well, I'm sure, Linda, it sounds kind of odd to say it's a new recommendation because certainly Vera House has done and other domestic violence agencies have done a tremendous job at getting the word out about the problem of domestic violence. And the Syracuse Area Health, Syracuse Area Domestic Violence Coalition, which Vera House helps run, is a community effort to try to address the issue of domestic violence. And for a long time, we've had an active health aspect to that, where we've encouraged screening, we've encouraged hospital policies about domestic violence, et cetera. But the interesting thing is there's never been the research to say that screening routinely, asking all women whether or not they've had an injury or without any sort of suspicion of domestic violence, the research has never shown that asking that question in that setting actually helps at all. We've always felt that it's a good idea to do, and that extends beyond just the proof that it actually reduces violence or abuse. It extends to the fact that in order to combat domestic violence, we have to start having communications and more discussion about the problem of domestic violence in the community. So for a long time, I and others have been advocating screening based on the fact that we think it's a good idea for all the reasons that are really too difficult to measure. Now, fortunately, we have, with this new recommendation from the U.S. Preventive Services Task Force, we have the evidence to show that it reduces violence and helps women.
So it actually, in what way does it actually do that, though? Is there a mechanism you can point to?
Well, so screening usually leads to interventions, things that doctors do with patients to help them get better. And so in this case, the screening methods are, there are a variety of screening methods, all sorts of different types of questions and categories of questions and combinations of questions you can ask, and they're detailed in the recommendation. The interventions themselves are several. There could be purely interpersonal counseling, referring women to community services, all sorts of different, even peer mentoring ends up working as an intervention. And what they've been able to do through these different studies is show that asking the question routinely of all patients that come in and hooking them up with services or any of those interventions when needed actually reduces abuse and helps prevent harm.
So basically you can't do anything about something if you don't talk about it.
Correct.
So getting the conversation going, Randy, is clearly the important piece here.
Well, and it's wonderful. It was wonderful when Dr. Epling shared the research with us because we at Vera House for more than two decades have been having conversations across the community, including with healthcare professionals, about how important it is that we break the silence and we allow and help conversations about violence that people may be experiencing at home or in their intimate partner relationship. And so to have the research substantiate what we always felt in our guts but weren't able to articulate through proper research, I think is a really important step for our community. And so, yeah, we're excited to know that it's here.
So exactly what does this mean? There's a recommendation, and who will be the people who will be asking the questions and under what circumstances? Help us with that.
So the U.S. Preventive Services Task Force makes these recommendations for primary care physicians or providers in general. So it could be anybody that provides primary care, nurse practitioners, PAs, lots of OBGYNs provide primary care, general internists, et cetera. So the recommendations are meant for them. And it's important to get the research behind us because there are lots and lots of preventive things that primary care physicians are tasked to do. And we have to prioritize. There are too many to get done in a single setting. And what we like to prioritize them by is by the research that it actually works to help save lives and reduce morbidity. Not everything has that level of evidence behind it, and that's been part of the issue with domestic violence is how do we address the problem that we know is there, that's in our guts that it's there, but still have to make these priorities for interventions.
Okay, so what are the questions that are asked? And I guess what strikes me right away is if I'm not someone, I go to my OBGYN or I go to my internist and I have no history of domestic violence in my background, and I have an injury to my arm. I mean, I'm assuming that what the mandate is or the expectation is that my primary care physician will ask me something about whether this was an injury as a result of domestic violence. Is that correct?
It's even a step back, because what we have known for a very long time is if you have an injury that's of any suspicious nature, and really lots of injuries fit into that potential, if you're depressed, if you're pregnant, all these other things that are indicators of potential and increased risk of domestic violence, that we should ask. That's always been canon in terms of primary care. This is a different. This is, you come in to your OBGYN or your family physician and you say, I'm feeling great, I have no problems. The primary care physician at that point should say, well, tell me, have you ever felt unsafe in any of your relationships?
Oh.
Tell me if you've ever been hit or pushed or kicked or struck.
So in no, not necessarily in response to any symptom that you're discussing.
And that's what screening is routine screening, is asking when everything's hunky-dory.
What do you think, Randy? Do you think the likelihood of someone who's experiencing this kind of violence would answer in the affirmative a question like that?
We know that they do at times. We know that sometimes they don't. And I think one thing that's a little bit difficult probably for the research to properly develop and explain is how the question gets asked. I think it makes a big difference, and that's where some of the education and training that I think Dr. Epling and others have invested themselves in is so important. Because if a doctor is looking down at a piece of paper, says, I have a series of questions I have to ask you, have you ever been afraid of your partner, have you ever been unsafe? No, you'll never get a yes, because the individual will know that you don't really want to invite an open conversation. But if a physician or a healthcare professional looks somebody in the eye and says, can I ask you, are you ever feeling unsafe in your relationship? Have you felt unsafe before? And the person knows that this is a safe place to talk about it. Even if they don't answer yes on that first occasion, when they come back to their next visit, and the nice thing with primary care is you usually have an ongoing relationship, they might say, you remember when you asked me that last time? So it's really important, I think, that the healthcare professional create the opportunity for the person to answer yes or no, and to maybe even explain why they ask about it. So if a physician says, we ask routinely every woman who comes into our practice because we know how widespread this issue is, that really gives somebody the opportunity to say yes.
And then, so when is this taking place? I mean, are people now starting to do this in primary care? Or it's a recommendation, but what's actually happening?
Well, so the actual process of the recommendation is a little bit complicated, but basically the task force has put out a draft recommendation. They're putting it out for public comment, so I'd encourage everybody to go to the U.S. Preventive Services Task Force.org, all one word, and comment on this if they feel strongly about it. And that was part of what our letter in the Post Standard tried to do. But I think people do it differently, and I think we have now a way to push that this is an important thing, that research proves that it helps reduce abuse and reduce harm from this. And I think our job now is to get it out to all the physicians and primary care providers to start asking.
It's very, very important and very exciting that this has taken place. And hopefully they will all get on the bandwagon and help those people in their practice that are, you know, the victims of this kind of thing. So I want to thank you both very, very much for coming in today. My guests have been Dr. John Epling, Associate Professor of Public Health and Preventive Medicine and the Chair of Family Medicine at Upstate Medical University, and Randy Bregman, Executive Director of Vera House. Stay with us. We'll be right back after this very short interview.